Jesus turned water into wine, and therefore it's just fine for everyone to drink wine. You ready to have the Jesus turned the water into wine, therefore discussion? Because it's been going on for a long time. Here's some things that I've heard over the years. I've heard this. I said, it wasn't really wine. It was more like grape juice. Or the wine of Jesus' time wasn't the kind that makes the person drunk. Jesus wasn't endorsing the consumption of alcohol. He was simply doing what his mother asked. I think in the Bible verse it says here, usually they bring out the cheap wine after everyone's become drunk. Okay, so that doesn't hold water, so to speak. I've also heard that Jesus made the water into wine, so drinking wine must be okay. Heard all of those things, heard lots of debates. And, you know, I don't know how Jesus did it. I don't know how it really happened. I simply think that somehow Jesus turned water into wine and the guests were really happy. Jesus offered this extravagant hospitality in a situation where he was a guest. He wasn't even, you know, in charge of things. As well known by what he said to his mom. Hey, this isn't for us. This isn't our deal. Although I'm reasonably certain that Jesus drank wine with the guests. He was at a wedding and that's what you did. It wasn't, they didn't have the same kind of culture that we have where, you know, people say yes or no or whatever. It's just, you know, you're at a wedding, so you drank wine. It's possible or probably likely that he even got a little bit tipsy on this and maybe some other occasions because people drank wine. I also think, I know that some people have a significant problem with alcohol consumption, either from their moral perspective or as a person who has abused alcohol or as a person who has been affected by the behavior of a person who has abused alcohol, who abuses alcohol. I don't think that a person should ever use these verses to berate or cut down a person who chooses, for whatever reason, not to drink any kind of alcohol. I also don't think that the story should be used to say that alcohol consumption is just fine. This story isn't about drinking. That was part of the culture. I mean, it's not questioning whether or not the people were drinking wine there. It's not about that. It's about this abundance and hospitality. Jesus seeing a need and responding to it. Even though he had his mother tell him, you got to respond to this need, Jesus responded to a need. The wedding guests were out of wine. Wine was part of the celebration. Jesus, at his mother's request, responded to the need. He may have told her, not yet, at first, but he responded to the need at the wedding. So in many ways, this whole passage is about responding to a need. And sometimes responding to a need, it's gradual. You know, we have a need for ongoing support at Union Congregational Church so that we can keep the lights on, so that we can fix the heaters, you know, so that all these things can happen. But often there is an urgency in the need. There's a real urgency in responding to a need, often. Listen to these words from Dr. Martin Luther King. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. But this is from his I Have a Dream speech. But unless you've memorized the whole speech, you only hear the I Have a Dream part towards the end. But these words were also delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on August 28th, 1963. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all God's children. That paragraph has become known as the one that describes the fierce urgency of now. See, Dr. King was talking about racial justice and racial equality, but his words echo across time and space to fierce urgency of now moments that call for justice and equality. And this week they echo right to a fierce urgency of now moment in responding to the devastation of the earthquake in Haiti. Now is not the time to argue about who drinks and who doesn't. Now is the time to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Haiti. Now is not the time to debate whether it was really Jesus' mom who got things rolling for Jesus by telling him to do something. Now is the time to respond to the needs of those who have been devastated. Now is not the time for theological debates or racial fights or saber rattling or political games. This is a fierce urgency of now moment, and it is calling us to help. How? We'll take a look at today's bulletin. That's one thing that we brought from downstairs. Haiti earthquake relief. 3 million devastated, a world impacted. How can you help? It says, please pray for the injured people who've lost loved ones and those who are homeless. Pray for those engaged in relief and rehabilitation work, particularly our global and Haitian partners. It says, please give to the Haiti Earthquake Relief Fund of the United Church of Christ. Your support will enable us to provide immediate and long-term assistance to and through partner agencies who are in the area right now assessing the damage. Immediate needs include food, water, shelter, sanitation, medical supplies, and medical attention. You can help the people of Haiti with prayers and with gifts. You can today make checks out to Union Congregational Church and put down in the memo line, Haiti Relief, or our One Great Hour of Sharing, OGHS, Haiti Relief, or anything like that. And we will take that money and we'll send it on to the Illinois Conference that goes through and gets the money where it needs to go through the United Church of Christ Relief Fund. It's not the only place that somebody can give, but we know that through that channel that it gets to places where it needs to be done. One of the major agencies that the United Church of Christ supports is Church World Service, who are there on the ground, who have already brought blankets, who have already brought water, who have already brought food. Thursday, I think, was the first day, maybe it was Wednesday, was the first day that the UCC had their online, like, click here to donate button there. On that first day, members and friends of the United Church of Christ gave $135,000 in online donations. Unprecedented for a church. We're not a little church, but we don't get $135,000 in one day from donors, from people in the United Church of Christ usually. This was huge. And people have opened up their pocketbooks. And I know it's not the only thing that people can do, but if you listen to Presidents Bush and Clinton and Obama together yesterday, they said, hey, best thing you can do is to give money and give it so that it's to agencies that where it's going to help. You can also make donations online. There's a link on the front page of the Union Congregational Church website. It's also on our Facebook page, on our blog, that will direct you to the United Church of Christ Disaster Relief Donation page. This is a fierce urgency of now moment in the life of our congregation, in the life of Salmonok, in the life of this little larger area, in the life of the United States. Jesus responded to the need on the wedding at Cana. Dr. King reminded us of the fierce urgency of now, and we are called to respond to this need now. There's no room in this case to say not yet. So let us pray. God, who is with all through the storm, through the night, through times of blessing and celebration, help us to respond to this fierce urgency of now. Help us to reach out to our brother and sister in need. Help us to love you and to love others in any way that we can. Amen.